Welcome to Eagles Game Plan. And after one of the most unforgettable games in Eagles history, the Eagles sit alone atop of the NFC East.
On today's show, we're going to break down the key plays that led the Eagles to victory over the Detroit Lions.
And with Minnesota next up on the schedule, we'll break down the Vikings on both sides of the football.
And as he does each and every week, head coach Chip Kelly joined me right here at the top of the show to break down some of the great plays from Sunday's unforgettable win. Eagles Game Plan starts right now. Welcome into Eagles Game Plan. I'm Brian Baldinger along with Mike Quick and Ike Reese. And guys, let's get right to it. One of the most unforgettable games in Eagles folklore, yeah. Eagles history, Mike. What stood out with you on Sunday?
Well, in this game, you never know. Regardless of what your plan is, you never know how things are going to turn out. I thought the adjustment to the game conditions, and making those adjustments, especially in the second half, was the difference in the football game. Getting your tackles, your guards, those double teams, getting up on the second level, all those little adjustments that they made in the second half, that was the key to Shady having a record-setting day.
Again, adjustments, but this time on the defensive side of the football. I thought in that first quarter, Detroit had a lot of success. Eagles were fortunate. Joique Bell turned the ball over in close to scoring position. But Connor Barwin talked to me about some of the techniques they switched up, and it helped them out the rest of the game. And you saw that this Eagles defense was able to hold Detroit to just 6 points. All that snow out there, Shady's great running day, didn't affect the Eagles' defense that much, so I was impressed with the adjustments the defense was able to make.
Mike, it was tough sledding, literally, early in that game. Eagles were down 14-0 in the second quarter, and all of a sudden the big play to Riley Cooper happened. I think that kind of got the offense going.
You're exactly right. It was the play, the 44-yard pass to Riley Cooper, that got this offense started. It's first and 10, and the Eagles are going to be running one of their favorite plays to try and get the ball down the field. You're going to see three vertical routes on this play, with two on the outside and one straight up the seam. At the snap of the ball, watch Nick Foles look the safety off to the right side of the field. By manipulating the safety, he creates room for Riley Cooper down the middle of the field, away from the cornerback. Foles lets go of the football, and Cooper makes one of the plays of the year. Watch him track the ball over his shoulder, look it in, and secure the ball for a 44-yard catch. On the next play, Nick Foles hits DeSean Jackson in the back of the end zone, and the offense never looked back. And it all started with that huge catch by Riley Cooper.
First and 10. Foles in the shotgun, McCoy to his right. Foles on first down, comes back to McCoy. He's free. He's at the 40. 30. McCoy, he is going all the way. Touchdown, Shady McCoy.
Now you've got a game.
Shady McCoy up the middle, 57 yards.
As he does every week, head coach Chip Kelly joins us to break down a little bit of, it was a fun day out there, Chip. Let's just say that. I mean, it was different. You probably hadn't been in one of these snowfalls like this in a while.
No, not in a while.
Everyone had one up in New Hampshire?
Yeah, we had a couple, but nothing like this. Nothing like this, no. But we played in a little bit of snow, but nothing like this.
Well, the game plan adjusted a little bit. Obviously, you had a great deal of success running your inside zone play, but why don't you just take us through a little bit of what you're looking at, what you were getting from Detroit here? Because it was play after play after play. They had their safeties up right here, trying to do everything they could to try to prevent it.
You know, I think one of the things we learned early on is that you got to have the back coming downhill, in that when we tried to go lateral, there's too much slipping and too much falling. So, you know, we wanted to try to get two double teams at the point of attack.
So you get this against Sue and Fairley just almost every single play for a while.
And we're just trying to get combination blocks from these two guys up to that linebacker and these two guys up to that linebacker. We felt like we could get some movement with Jason going in the direction because of how they played. And then Brent did a great job. Yes. He had to take two, you know. And so
just
he would chip and sift and then take the inside guy. Sometimes they brought that guy down and he'd wash him, you know. So Brent was going to take the inside of the two. And then the key for LeSean that he did just such a great job of is that he got downhill all day long until he got to the second level. And I think his path as a back was outstanding. You know, there wasn't a lot of dancing. It's just downhill, make one cut. He sees a little opening, and then obviously when he gets to the second level, the real key for us now, and I think one of the things that we saw all day long was the blocking of our receivers on the perimeter. And Jason Avant, who comes up on your left here, just does an outstanding job. He actually takes his guy into the free safety. And when LeSean gets to the second level, he reads Jason's block, makes a cut off of it, and then one cut, stick your foot in the ground and get north and south, and I don't think anybody's going to catch him on that day.
Actually, there's one little pause here by the middle linebacker, Stephen Tulloch, who's still just a little bit unsure right here at the mesh. If maybe Nick has that ball, I mean, he's not really sure where it is at that point.
Mm-hmm. And part of being a good quarterback in the gun like Nick is that you have to carry out a fake. And, mm-hmm. and if it's enough just to make a guy hesitate, what you're trying to do is keep people honest. And Nick did a great job always accelerating off the disconnect. He keeps his hands tight, and you don't know if he has the ball, because the one or two times he did keep it, we got big plays out of it. So you're making the defense understand that the ball can go up the middle but can also get to the perimeter right now. It became a fundamental day, and then, you know, we talk about all the time is that you sink to your level of training, and the things that we do every single day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, really showed up this week on Sunday.
Well, there was inside zone, there was split zone. So mm-hmm. James Casey comes across here and really secures the outside. He digs him out inside out right there. So it really prevents any sort of penetration at that point.
You know, I think everybody's got great angles in terms of which direction to move, and everybody's moving to the right, but we get a seal with James coming on the backside right here, but then everybody else is moving in this direction, and we've all got great angles in terms of who we're working to. Again, Brent can seal the edge. We left that guy outside, so now we can get lane in here. We got an extra hat going. Jason does a great job, and then what we're trying to do is form a wall this way and then get a seal back here. And then Chris has just got to come downhill and come out. But the key component that a lot of people don't talk about is what Nick does coming off the fake, because that safety and that linebacker step outside, and you'll end up seeing that's where the hole is right there. We get a big crease on the backside because everybody's doing their job.
It seems so obvious to carry out the fake, but carrying that out right there is enough to pull Glover Quinn out, who's down here to stop this play.
Exactly. And to be a successful offensive team, it takes all 11. You know, our receivers understand their role in the run game, and our quarterbacks understand their role in the run game. And the one thing that Nick can do, he's not a 4-6 guy, but if you bend it and don't have a guy responsible for him, he's proven in the Green Bay game, and he's proven in a lot of games this year that he can pick up yards, and he's smart enough to get out in the open field, get what he can. He had a 20-yard run in this game where he pulled it because they kind of bent it and didn't have anybody responsible for him, and then he's going to hook slide and play the next snap. So you're forcing the defense to defend everybody.
This 4th and 12 right here looked like an adjustment, Coach, on this play. I hadn't seen his pop pass all year to Brent, but was this something that was put in this situation for this play right here?
Just myself, Brent, and Nick talked about it, you know, because Brent kept talking about his guy. I'll give Brent a ton of credit on understanding the game and saying, hey, when I block out, my guy's going. We got to do something to take advantage of it. So, but the safety's down on the backside. He's still responsible for the quarterback. It's a no-deep play. We can handle everybody from here over. And now, how do we handle the backside? They were always going to have one more than us if the guy that was responsible for Brent, once he realized he was blocking, was going to add. So, you know, you got to make them defend everybody. And when Brent turns out, the linebacker that's responsible for him now adds.
Well, let's take a look at here from the end zone, because this is what you're talking about. He's blocking out right here, and they're going to have another guy fit into the formation right here, Ashley Palmer here. So how you handle him?
He blocks out, so this guy was adding. And obviously now we don't have a guy responsible for him. Nick's responsible for this guy, so he's going to take him with the fake. But now they're going to get an extra defender. Good scheme on their part. We had to take advantage of guys with dual responsibility. You know, you're trying to tell a guy he's got to play man-to-man, but when his guy blocks, now add to the run. We got to take advantage of that. You know, the one thing I'll give Brent credit for is that as he goes down here, we now take a knee.
Right.
And if you had a kickoff, you got guys running down and kickoff, a chance to get hurt, they're going to get 3 or 4 more snaps or maybe more with their offense on the field, with our defense on the field. And we're just exposing our players to more snaps that they don't need to get exposed to.
Okay.
You know, we come out of the game healthy. We're in a great situation. But not many guys would do this. Just a real big, unselfish move by a heck of a player.
It was just another winning performance defensively here, Coach. And the same effort and attitude that we've seen over the last 8 weeks was demonstrated right here early in this game and set the tone for it.
Yeah, you just watch how quickly our guys close to the ball. Brandon Graham's at the point of attack. He does a great job of setting the edge. Damon squares in at the nose. He does a great job. Clifton Gathers is on the backside, and I believe that's Vinny Curry knocking the tackle back into the backfield. So now we make the running back bounce, and then here comes Pat Chung on the edge, setting the corner. He's coming down, setting the corner on the edge. Here comes D'Amico. Michael Kendricks is running over the top, and when you stop it at the point of attack, we've got 8 of our defenders around the football within 5 yards of the ball, and everybody's running and flying to the football. We're playing with maximum effort. We're playing with great angles. We understand our fits in the defense. it starts with Vinny and Brandon making the ball bounce, and then everybody understanding that it takes max effort now, and then here comes everybody. And obviously, they make the ball bounce. Vinny and Brandon make the ball bounce. Pat Chung comes up and fills where he needs to fill, so the back has to cut it inside. Here comes D'Amico. There's Michael Kendricks over the top. There's all three defensive linemen. There's Vinny. There's Damon Square. There's Clifton Gathers coming. There's Brandon Graham coming. Kerry Williams has set the edge on the outside, so the ball, if it continues to bounce, we have a hat there, and everybody's running to the football. And you just look at that pursuit, how many guys are getting to the ball. We're getting a tackle at the line of scrimmage, and really kind of the effort that our defense played with all day.
Coming up on the show, we'll give you the keys to an Eagles victory on Sunday afternoon. But first, NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell will break down the Minnesota offense and how the Eagles can stop it. All that more when Eagles Game Plan returns. Eagles Game Plan is brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Sports Authority, for all things sporting good. And by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. It's very likely on Sunday that the Minnesota Vikings will be short a few of their major weapons. So what they're going to have to do, particularly in the pass game, is try to manufacture some big plays. Throughout this season, they've struggled to have a strong week-to-week pass game in a conventional way. Play action has not been as strong as you would expect with an Adrian Peterson in the backfield. Matt Cassel has actually thrown the ball well this season in limited duty. And one of the things, as I look back at their tape throughout this season, that stood out to me was when they went to five wide receivers against the Washington Redskins. Now, this is something not a lot of teams do. This was truly five wide receivers, not just a five wide receiver look. The reason I chose the Redskins is because the Redskins, very much like the Eagles, predominantly play nickel, five defensive backs. That means they keep two linebackers on the field. And if you look at this play, you'll see Jerome Simpson in the slot to the bottom of the screen, to the two receiver side. Over him is a linebacker, Perry Riley. Now, this is a really interesting play, because not only is that a mismatch to start, but they enhance the mismatch with a wide receiver screen look to Joe Webb. You can see Riley, just for a beat, pause, expecting the screen. That allows Simpson to run by him. So a mismatch is made even worse. Castle makes an excellent throw to Simpson. It's an explosive 25-yard play. Those are the kinds of things I would expect the Vikings to do in their own building on a fast track. Get their wide receivers involved any way they can. The Vikings must find a way to orchestrate points in the passing game against the Philadelphia Eagles defense.
Ike, the key every week defensively is to stop the run. And so we really don't know who the back is going to be in Minnesota. I mean, this is Toby Gerhardt, who finished the game Sunday against the Ravens. This is straight inside zone. The Eagles should have a good idea how to stop this, since they see it from their own team every single day.
Yeah, well, you see these boys. I mean, Toby Gerhardt, he's coming straight downhill. I mean, that hole that offensive line was able to open up against the Ravens there, you can't allow a running back that much space before he's touched.
Well, and he ran right through the two safeties, Matt Elam and James Hedebo. And this guy needs no introduction, obviously, Adrian Peterson. You know, his ability to break tackles, his vision, how hard he plays.
You're going to see, you got Tripp set up here to your right, a nice little dual block coming up in the inside there.
I think a lot of Eagle fans remember this guy. It's Joe Webb right there. Joe Webb is in that position, Ike, to come out of that bunch formation to be able to get to Troy Polamalu here.
Yes, and the key to this is it looks like it's a passing formation or something to
bunch
the outside.
Yeah.
Or some sort of toss to the outside, and they just go up in the inside. You got to be prepared for that if you're the Eagles defense.
Well, if you're not ready to tackle, I mean, whether it's Peterson or whether it's Gerhardt, both of them are capable of hurting you. This portion of the Eagles game plan was brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Minnesota Vikings defense. What weaknesses could the Eagles exploit? We'll find out when Eagles game plan returns. Welcome back to Eagles game plan. And Mike, offensively, the Eagles are going to see a coverage
It's a defense, but it's a coverage. It's a Tampa 2 coverage that
your old coach
Monty Kiffin very familiar with. The Eagles are familiar with it. And what it is this middle linebacker here, Aaron Henderson, is going to open up to the three receiver side. And he's going to take the middle away and really becomes a three deep coverage. They're trying to take away those holes and trying to take the seam route away. And then it's up to, really, the Eagles to attack that coverage.
Well, the smart thing, if you look at these Cleveland splits, they are on the numbers, the outside receiver.
Okay.
So what that's going to do is give you a lot of room to the outside to work those safeties. And the cornerbacks, their first job is to make sure that those receivers release to the inside.
Okay.
And then you have to affect them in the flat to hold those cornerbacks, and it allows you to do a lot of things on the back end.
It's good wide receiver talk right there, Mike. You know, because it is all of that. But then what happens is it's a zone coverage, Mike. So a guy like Chad Greenway right here, all he's doing is reading the eyes of the quarterback.
Yep.
And he's going to adjust. And in this case, the quarterback's going to take him right to the football. And so Nick Foles is going to have to know right now that he's got zone eyes, and he steps right in front of that seam route there. He takes that interception down the field here.
Yeah, I think the quarterback had already decided where he was going to go with the football rather than reading what the defense is doing.
So the Eagles have seen this coverage, Mike. I mean, the Washington Redskins play a lot of this Tampa, too. You can see Perry Riley right here.
Yep.
When Deshaun comes over, here's the three-receiver side now. He's going to open to that side of that three-receiver right here, and the Eagles are going to run a little scissors route to try and take advantage of it.
But it's a perfect example of what I was saying. Watch him hold the cornerback. He's going to hold the corner with this flat route, but then with the split of the wide receiver, it gives you a lot of room to run to where you want the football to be thrown in that soft area of the zone. You've got a soft pocket behind that cornerback and outside of the safety. That's where you want to go with the football.
So the Eagles see it. Nick Foles throws a beautiful ball to Deshaun Jackson right in that soft spot that you're talking about. You know, they have seen it. They know how to attack it. They know the route combinations that work against it. This portion of the Eagles game plan was brought to you by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles. The 6th annual Eagles Blood Drive will take place December 28th at Lincoln Financial Field. Every donor will receive a special Eagles gift and a chance to win a pair of tickets to the 2014 home opener. Make your appointment today. Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. Guys, this is our final segment. We call it Three and Out. And it's our final thoughts as we get ready for the Minnesota Vikings. Mike, let's start with you. What do the Eagles need to do to come back with their sixth straight win?
This is a fundamentally sound football team. And going up against a team that you're expected to beat, I think they have to go back to the basics, to the fundamentals, and make sure that they're doing everything correctly. And don't take this team for granted. You know, it's a team, obviously, that they should be able to beat. And you have to go up there and soundly take care of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of work was done throughout this week getting prepared for this team. This is a game you win mentally throughout the week. You come in with the right mindset. Yep. You're not overlooking anyone, regardless of who's playing for the Minnesota Vikings. You have a goal that you're trying to attain, and you just got to stay focused on that. And I think they've been able to do that this week, and we'll see come game day.
Well, we've all been in that situation where you're the team that is struggling. You're injured. You're beat up. There could be a coaching change. I'm talking about the Minnesota Vikings. And they've got nothing to do at the playoff time right here as the Eagles try to march, but to ruin your day.
Right.
And that's what the Vikings are out there to do. They almost ruined the day for the Baltimore Ravens right down the road last Sunday, came within one play of doing that. That's what they're looking to do with the Philadelphia Eagles. So it's up to the Eagles in this game to come in prepared and ready to play from the jump. And if they do that, they should come away with their sixth win. All right, guys, that'll do it for today. For Mike Quick and Ike Reese, I'm Brian Baldinger. We'll be back here next week to talk about the Sunday night game between the Chicago Bears and the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles Game Plan is brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Sports Authority for all things sporting goods. And by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.